Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity. I'm Keith.
And I'm Zach.
And together we...
Z-A-C-H. Z-A-C-K.
Z-A-C-H, Zach. And, we're hosting this program for you. And last week we came to you live. This week we're back to recording. Not that we kind of enjoyed the live thing.
But, it was a lot of work, though.
It was a lot of work. And... not that we're opposed to work, but it's kind of like, why are we adding this extra burden on ourselves? So we're back to you recording today. We actually, if anybody cares, we actually drove out to the lake a while ago and checked out Pavilion Number 4. The water had looked like it had just receded. We could not have gone to Pavilion 4 if we'd wanted to last week.
No, it was underwater.
It kind of was underwater. But, hey,
it's 80 degrees out today.
We should have gone out there today. We really should have.
It's 80 degrees.
But we didn't. Anyway, this is episode number 38 of this program, and we're going to mix it up a little bit here and throw you some contact information here at the beginning today.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to our website, and that is...
letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Or you can go to our Facebook page.
Let's Talk About a Christian Radio Program and Podcast.
Or you can go to facebook.com/ Let's Talk About Christianity. And you can email me. My email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
K-E-I-T-H. And mine is Zach at letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Z-A-C-H. Zach.
Yeah, get it right,
please. Letstalkaboutchristianity.com. Also, we want to talk about some things going on. We are, today when this airs will be, February 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? February 23rd? Yeah.
Yep.
February 23rd. So on March 4th, that is a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Zach, you just insisted that was on a Saturday. But
I don't know why, but I thought it was.
March 4th will be the first Sunday in March. And we here at Paintsville Church of Christ are going to be hosting an area-wide youth devotional.
Mm-hmm. Where yours truly will be giving the devotional.
And that will start at 4:45 in the afternoon. And we want to invite any youth who are listening to come out that evening at 4:45. And we think, if Zach can get it on his calendar correctly, that he is going to be speaking that afternoon. And then stick around for a little bit of time to mix and mingle. And then we will have our worship service at 6 p.m. on that Sunday evening, where yours truly will be speaking. Also, we want to remind you again of what is happening in July. We have a major youth event coming up then. It is called Oath.
Our Access to Heaven.
And that will be July 5th, 6th, and 7th, if I've got my calendar correct.
And that event is huge.
It's going to be huge. It is. That will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And
that'll be big for not only our congregation, for our community.
Yes. Lots of goings on during that event. And
this weekend, are we going to record at CYC?
Ooh, I don't know. Possibly. We're going to have to figure that out. We may do some recording on the road at some point. But all I can say on that is tune in next week and see what you got.
Yeah.
We want to remind you of those things. We also, we're pulling into this week and now. For the past 5 episodes, how did we do
five weeks?
5 weeks.
That's
on
crazy.
Everybody Got Problems. And I suppose we did it 5 weeks because everybody's got problems.
Right.
But
it's 5 weeks worth of content.
Yes. We're moving past that now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we think we've solved all of the problems, because I know we have not, not even making that claim, but it was time to move on And so what are we talking about today, Zach?
We're going to be talking about Luke chapter 8, or the parable of the sower, sometimes known as the parable of the soils.
So, you know, if you have your Bible there handy and you would like to open up to Luke chapter 8, certainly we would encourage you to do so. Zach, I'm just going to start out by reading the parable itself here from Luke 8, beginning in verse 4. The Bible says, "When a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable."
And he often did that throughout the Bible.
Verse 5, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, here's what's, and we're not going to go through, well, yes, actually we are going to go through these next six or seven verses here, but this is one of the few parables that Jesus gave where we have an inspired explanation of the parable. And that's one thing that makes this parable so valuable, is because we not only see the parable that Jesus gave, but we see how Jesus explained this parable.
And he breaks it down so fluently, too.
And, you know, you might not think, looking at these next few verses, that verse 9 is all of that important, but it really is. Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And Jesus is going to tell them what it means. And in verse 10, he gives the purpose of parables. "To you it has not been to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Okay, so do we want to understand parables?
Yes.
Yes, yes. We want to understand what Jesus has said. If we are going to understand what Jesus said, we must see and hear, and seeing we must see, and hearing we must understand. The point I'm trying to make from verse 10, though, is that Jesus tells us there is a point to these parables that you can understand.
Right.
And with this parable, he is going to give the inspired explanation.
And in verse 11, that is like the key to the test.
It is.
Verse 11 explains the entire parable and it gives it a whole different meaning.
It does.
So if you look at verse 11, it says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God."
I think I've mentioned this before, but I had an instructor in school years ago, Billy Bland. He was actually talking about Acts chapter 2 and verse 16, where Peter said, "Now this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." But here we have Jesus saying, "Now the parable is this." And what Brother Bland said about that was, when you have an inspired apostle, or in this case, Jesus saying, "This is that," then it doesn't get any thatter than this. And, you know, he did it to emphasize the point. But when you have Jesus saying, "Now this is it," well, this is it. There isn't any arguing. There isn't any wiggle room, anything of that nature. This is it. And he tells us the seed is the word of God.
That's a profound, as Brother Glenn Colley would say, that's profound.
It is. Why is that so profound, Zach?
Because it gives this whole different, it gives this parable a different meaning. If you think about it, okay, in verse 12, starting in verse 12 and going all the way down to verse 15, that's the explanation for verses 5 through 8.
Yes.
So if we look at verse 12, it says, "The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved."
Now, why would the devil take away the word? And I ask that question in all seriousness, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but there are those who teach that the devil would take away our ability to believe or to respond to the Word of God, or even some might say that the devil takes away our salvation. Mm-hmm. Jesus did not say that the devil took away any of those things.
No, he did not.
He did not take away our ability to believe. He did not take away our faith. He did not take away our salvation. He took away the seed. He took away the Word. And if you're a listener of our program, you may have noticed how much emphasis we put upon the Word of God and the authority of the Scriptures. This is one of those verses that really causes us to place so much authority, so much importance upon the Word of God itself.
I mean, the devil is often, almost always, associated with temptation. They're two and two. They're like peanut butter and jelly. All right.
Okay.
They're like peanut butter and jelly. And,
I'm not seeing where you're going with this.
Not, but the devil didn't literally come and physically take away the seed. I think the seed was taken away through temptation. It was taken away through others.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion on the way that I read that.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. The devil didn't literally take away the word. But you know, there are a lot of things that would cause us to turn away from the mm-hmm. Word of God. And let me just tell you, that is what the devil wants us to do. If the devil can get you to believe that the Word of God is not important, if the devil can get you to believe that the Word of God is not inspired, mm-hmm. if the devil can get you to believe that the Word of God is not authoritative, if the devil can get you to believe that the Word of God doesn't mean what it says, if the devil can get you to... You want me to keep going?
I think we get the point,
Keith. If the devil can get you to believe that the Word of God is an antiquated, mm-hmm. outdated book that needs modernized or that is not relevant to us today, the devil has won.
Yep. And this specific example in verse 12, I believe it's talking about losing faith within the seed. And that goes back to you saying, you know, they may have not believed that it was inspired by God. You know, maybe they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God.
I don't know how many times I've heard people say, you know what, the Bible's just outdated. It needs to be brought mm-hmm. into the 21st century. It needs to be made relevant to society today. Folks, I'll be blunt. If you believe that, I respectfully submit to you that you have it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God is just as relevant today as it ever was. And the reason that I say that is, you look at passages such as Romans 1 and 16. What does Paul say there? I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. There are a lot today who are teaching that the Word of God is not relevant today, that in effect...
The Bible changes as times change. That's a big teaching today.
But the consequence of that is, if you teach that or believe that, you also must believe that the gospel is no longer God's power unto salvation. Mm-hmm. Now, if the gospel is not God's power unto salvation, what is? Well, here we have Jesus saying the seed is the Word of God. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to receive salvation, we must have the correct seed.
Right.
If we want to receive salvation, the Word of God is the only thing that is going to bring that salvation to us.
And I recently wrote an article on our website. It's called The Power of Seed Principle.
You can check that out. Let's talk about Christianity.com.
And seed principle is simple. Whatever the sower sows, that is the plant that will grow.
Right. Right.
So whatever seed that you plant, that is the seed that will sprout.
Now, and we're not going there today, but let me just throw this out. We can save this for another episode. Mm-hmm. One point of this parable that is oftentimes overlooked, the sower went out to sow his seed.
Right.
If the sower didn't sow, there would be no seed spread. There would not. Right. There wouldn't be anything mm-hmm. that was grown. The seed has to be sown.
Yep.
And a lot of times we don't emphasize the sower as we are talking about this parable, but certainly that is important.
Okay, so now we go down to verse 13, which is the explanation for the second way that hearts will receive the seed of God.
Right.
And verse 13 says,
but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root for believe. Why are you asking me to read today? I'm not doing a very good job. These have no root who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Okay, so reading is not my forte today.
You got your ABDs, C's, right?
I finally got it out though.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, I think the root in the symbol of the root within this verse is a symbol for a particular feebleness within your Christianity, possibly. What do you
think? Okay, well, the root would be our faith.
Right. And our faith isn't strong enough to withstand
right.
the temptations and tribulations of life.
We get those temptations mm-hmm. and I don't know, for some reason, the past couple of weeks, we've been talking on and off the air about milkshakes. And
they're good.
Yes, they are good.
I sent you that recipe for that Frosty,
You did.
Too.
You sent me a recipe for a homemade milkshake the other day, and you know, you walked in the door this morning, and you're like, hey, did you try that?
And
No, I did not, because that was not tempting me. I've not had one since September. I'm good,
you're
thanks.
You're going to get one this summer.
But going to get one when?
This summer.
Well, summer, that's a long ways away. but, you know, if a milkshake is something that tempts you, how deep does your conviction have to be to not go get a milkshake?
Pretty deep. Milkshakes are good.
You know what? As we read verse 13, we are reminded that our faith is going to be challenged, that we are going to be tested, we are going to be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
And
if our root isn't deep enough, we will fall away.
Absolutely. We will.
Now we go down to verse 14.
14.
Now this is an interesting verse for me.
You're going to let me try to read it again?
I'll read this one.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 14 says, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Now, those that have fell among the thorns, what's the biggest threat to a garden, Keith?
Weeds.
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 And that is
drought.
What Jesus is talking about right now. Weeds.
Yep.
And I think as far as this goes, this verse is interesting to me because this seed developed a root.
It did.
It developed a root, and it grew. But it was taken away, the weeds took away its strength. It took away, it distracted it almost. You know what I mean?
You know, this is going back a few years ago, but growing up, we had a lot of alfalfa that we grew. And, you know, if you know anything about, you know, hay and forages and legumes.
Mm-hmm.
We also, when we would plant that alfalfa, would plant something else with it. A lot of times fescue, and we would plant some red clover in there too. Well, that fescue would grow up and it would sort of shield the sun from the alfalfa and the red clover, and that would challenge the alfalfa and the red clover to grow taller.
Mm-hmm.
What we have here, though, in verse 14 is something has grown up that has overshadowed the good seed or what is produced by the good seed, and it is not allowing that good seed to reach its potential.
It's not allowing that good seed's spiritual fruit to mature.
Absolutely. And you know, yes, we need challenge to grow, but in this case, it is choked out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have grown some gardens before since you brought that up. That ended up being overrun by weeds. And, you know, you could go out there and you could find a plant here or there that you had purposefully planted. But if there was any fruit on that plant, it really wasn't worth much.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, notice what Jesus said brings this about. They are choked out with cares, riches, pleasures of life.
All things that distract our Christianity and distract us from reaching our full potential spiritually.
You know, you can ask someone what they care about, and this is probably true, you know, if you were to ask me right now, you know, what do you care the most about? And the answer that I gave you might not match what you see demonstrated in my life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying.
And I might not intend for it to be that way, you mm-hmm. know? But, you know, the real test is going to... What do you care about? Examine your life and you will see what you really care about. And it may not be what you think you are caring about. But, you know, as long as you're, this is one of those cases where you need to do some observation to see if what you are living is matching what is coming out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The riches, you know, we've not really talked all that much about that on this program. The Bible talks a lot about that. We've just not gotten there. We're only 38 episodes in. We've got time. But
we're not even past season one right now, Keith.
No, yeah, we're still on season one. But you understand what I'm saying there. The Bible talks a lot about riches, and basically the point that is emphasized is, hey, you better not get too wrapped up in accumulating stuff here in this life, because you're not going to take it with you when you leave this life.
I think we get distracted from our eternal goal sometimes by impermanent pleasures.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, things that we get in this life that we obtain, and we're so proud that we obtained them, but in the grand scheme of things, they really don't mean anything.
And that can be stuff. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, there was a song named Stuff several years ago. That may have been before your time.
Probably way before my time, back in the good old days in the 60s.
Diamond Rio. No, it wasn't in the
60s. Oh, I listened to Diamond Rio. I've listened to them before.
But anyway, it could be stuff. It could be attitudes.
It can. Yep.
It can.
Well, anything that distracts.
Yes.
Anything that distracts and overshadows.
And then the pleasures of this life is the third thing that is mentioned there. And you know what? That deserves its own episode,
right.
Which mm-hmm. maybe one of these days soon we will pick up. But
now to my favorite verse.
Your favorite verse.
My favorite verse. Verse 15. And I'm going to read this one.
Go ahead.
Unless you want to read it. If you promise you not to mess up, I'll let you read it.
If you think you can do a better job than me, go ahead.
Verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now, I don't know much about gardening. Okay, I grew up in the smack dab middle of town. All right, We have a garden. It's a little 6x6 city garden, as my dad calls it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've grown tomatoes, we've grown cucumbers, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about gardening, but I do understand seed principle. And seed principle is simple, Keith. Tell me what seed principle is.
Well, the seed principle is that whatever seed you put in the ground,
mm-hmm.
that is what is going to grow.
If I plant a tomato seed, what's going to grow?
Well, you're going to get tomatoes.
Hey, there we go.
But
in my mind, I picture this verse as the seed that sprouted from this soil became, goes back to the beginning, it became the sower. You know, they went throughout the rest of the garden, and they found the seed that landed on the soil that was trampled on or eaten by. And they helped them. They went and found the seed that landed in the soil of the weeds. And they went and helped them fight off the weeds. That's what I picture in my mind.
Okay.
In this verse.
That seed principle that you were talking about, you know, it's not anything new to Luke chapter 8. As a matter of fact, you find the seed principle within the Word of God. You find it in the beginning.
Yep.
In Genesis 1 in verses 11 and 12. And yes, I'm going to try to read again, so, you know, this may end in disaster. Then God said, Genesis 1:11. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. God established this from the very beginning. He established it with grass. He established it with fruit. He established it with the animals, as he's going to do later on here in Genesis chapter 1. And he established it with his word.
And what better sermon illustration than a seed? You know, what better way to get his message across than comparing it to a seed?
And that's exactly where Jesus went, and the point that he was trying to give out. Look, okay, so if we take the Word of God and we plant the Word of God, what are we going to get?
We're going to reap the benefits of the Word of God.
We're
going to get the Word of God.
Yes.
Seed principle is simple.
We plant the Word of God. We are going to harvest from the Word of God. The Word of God is going to produce Christians.
Amen.
And that's all that the Word of God is going to produce.
And I think another important point to make here, too, is you read this parable, and you may think that, I'm this seed. Or I'm this seed that landed on this soil. Or I'm this seed that landed on this soil. And at the end of the day, you choose which seed.
I knew you were going to do it.
Soil you were on.
I told you before we started recording, you were going to do it when we got to this point. Okay,
you choose which soil you're on.
So
you're not assigned a soil.
Here is the beautiful thing about soil. I grew up in southern Missouri. We had a lot of rocks. I'm a Missouri boy.
Missouri.
We had a lot of rocks. And sometimes there were rocks in ground that we needed something other than rocks. Guess what? We had to go pick up the rocks.
Yep.
We changed that rocky soil from rocky soil into good ground. Your heart is the same way. You may look at your heart and you may say, well, according to this parable, I'm on the wayside, or I'm in the rocky ground or the thorny ground. I don't have that good and honest and noble heart that Jesus talks about there in Luke 8:15. Guess what? You have the power to change your heart.
So I guess the question is, what seed are you?
What soil are you? What soil?
That's twice.
That's twice. I knew you were going to do it. What
soil are you?
Are you? And if you are that wayside soil, are you willing to till and to improve it? Or the rocky ground? Are you ready to get rid of those temptations? Or the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life? Or are you willing to pull those things out of your life so the good seed can grow? Zach, we're out of time.
As always.
I know. You were just getting to go good there. So, but we want to thank you for listening, and tune in next week, because I don't know what we're doing yet, but it's going to be good.